listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 160. Kayla Lords here with the one, the only, the guy who forgot to turn on the microphones, John Brownstone. This week, we're talking sexual submission, what it means, what it can look like, and how it works from our perspective, as always. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education. Show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I still fucking hate and I will fucking hate forever, LovingDS and the number one, LovingDS1, or on YouTube at YouTube.com/LovingBDSM. And we are trying to live stream our podcast recording on YouTube now. Yes. So if you follow us on YouTube and you have the opportunity, you can actually watch us make this podcast before the podcast hits your app. So if you're on YouTube, definitely check us out there. All links are in the show notes. So we are talking about sexual submission this week. Yes. Because I am a sexual submissive. Mm-hmm. As with everything we discuss around here, it is from our personal perspective and our view of things. Some of it's from our experience with other people. Some of it's from things we've been told. But most of it is our lived experience. We are not saying that our lived experience is your lived experience, especially with something as personal as sexual submission.
Your mileage may vary.
Oh, right. I was thinking of that earlier when we were recording something else and couldn't think of the expression. So that's what we're going to talk about. This feels very weird to know that we are live with this. But if you've ever listened to the podcast, it's not any different, quite frankly. We don't edit that either. We just sort of put it out there and let it go.
And there, shoop, there it is.
Right. So let's get into the show, live stream, the thing, whatever. As if, like, we're just normal. This is weird to me, so I will not be normal this time, maybe next time. Am I ever normal?
No.
I'm never normal. No. Okay, so we're going to get into it.
Okay.
Let's start with some announcements. I have no announcements. Do you have any announcements?
No, I don't.
We don't have a sale on your on the Kinky Fuckery Shop. We're not doing anything.
We do have... I do have some new items up on there, though.
Yes, shop.kaylalords.com.
Yes.
But we don't have a sale going. We don't have anything extra going. We're just sort of doing our thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't have any sex toys that we want to pimp. We don't have any. No, we're good. Okay, no announcements. Okay. That was easy. There
all
we
right.
go.
Woo! Into the show.
I know. Okay, so the first, and you'll see me look down, my YouTube watchers, because I have my notes right in front of me. This was such. This is such a big topic. Because the first thing to remember is that not every submissive identifies as a sexual submissive.
True.
Sex and submission are not automatically paired together.
True.
But there are enough people who think of themselves in those terms, even if you don't use that label necessarily, that it's kind of a touchy subject to try and talk about because I can't possibly, talk about the entire world's experience. We are not a monolith. We all have our own preferences and ways of thinking about it and ways of approaching it and it's
experiences and
yes,
everything.
We
yes.
are all completely unique and there is no universal
right.
truth.
We're not cookie cutter.
No. And probably the universal truth is that there is no universal truth. So if you are a dominant or top and you're like, oh yes, I've partnered up with a sexual submissive before. Guess what? That submissive will not be like your next submissive. It just doesn't work that way.
Nope.
So that's the first thing to realize, and I think it is important to say that not every submissive identifies with their submission in a sexual way. There are right. service submissives that all they want to do is come clean your house or organize your life or make your appointments for you. We make great assistance because I'm a service submissive too. We make great assistance. And so, yeah, not every submissive wants you to lead them in the bedroom and give up their power in the bedroom either. So that's probably the first thing to kind of realize. And the other, I come across as
And then there are some that are sexual submissive and they are only that in the bedroom.
Right. Bedroom DS is absolutely a thing. They are only giving up their power once all the clothes start coming off and it's about to get sexy and freaky up in here.
Yeah.
And that's legit too. Like it's a spectrum. Just like every other part of BDSM, it's a spectrum from a little bit to a lot and then everything in between. Now, I do have, and I think this was probably me too a long time ago, a lot of newer kinksters, dom or sub, doesn't matter, they assume that sex is part of the submission they're experiencing, either for themselves or for their partner. And I think a lot of that has to do with porn and erotica, and that's what we write. We, as a writer, I'm writing about the sexy stuff because, one, that's the fun stuff to write about, and two, that's what I, you know, that's what a lot of people like to read. And I have gotten questions from newer kinksters who are like, I'm not feeling it in the bedroom. Is something wrong with me? Or my partner isn't into it, you know, sexually. What does that mean? It just means that's not their thing.
That's not their kink.
Right. And it could be that the way you're each approaching each other sexually is not matching up either. So that's like a delicate balance and dance you have to go through to figure out how you relate as dom and sub sexually, as opposed to outside of sex. Most of my friends, let me put it that way, most of the people I know who I know are sexually submissive to their dominant partner, sex is actually the first place we started. And I think a lot of people
do,
who identify that way, that, yeah, we're starting with sex first. And then we're going, oh, you mean I can bring this out of the bedroom and we can do other things? But I know there are people who come to the sex part later. And they start with, what do I do for my partner? How do I want to interact with my partner in this way? So there's no one right way, I guess, is the whole point of that. What I think I know about myself, and I will tell you why, is that I think I've been a sexual submissive definitely my entire adult life, because I didn't have actual intercourse, penetrative sex until I was 18. And even the sort of oral and fingering and other non what we think of as stereotypical sex, penis and vagina sex, I was doing that from probably the time I was 16 or so, and I've never been good with taking the lead on that, never. Now, as a teenager, 16, raised in the Deep South, lived in conservative places my whole life, living in the Tampa Bay area has been the most liberal, progressive place I've ever lived. And there are people who live here will tell you that we are not. So it just tells you something.
Compared to many places,
deep red places, Bible Belt places, where you're literally, what you're taught about sex is that you're going to hell if you have it. If you let a boy, if you know, in a heterosexual, heteronormative situation, if you let a boy touch you, you'll probably die of a disease, have a baby, and then go to hell. Like, this is how we were taught about sex. So at 16 and 17, when I really finally got to start dating, and the guys I was dating were like, hey, baby. And they're like, their hands are wandering all kinds of places, and it feels good. I was, like many people my age, wrapped up in so much fucking guilt. But if they would say, tell me what you want, or, you know, do you like, I didn't know how to respond to that. And that was a lot of the sexual repression that I was facing. That was a lot of the guilt. That was a lot of the, all of that. But as I got older and I kind of grew out of that a little bit and finally went, well, fuck that way of thinking. I'm just going to, you know, I'm going to stay safe. I'm going to take care of myself, but I'm going to go have some fun. I didn't grow out of that. So I would go along with whatever my partner wanted, even though it might not be, it wasn't that I didn't want to be with him. It was not a violation of consent kind of thing. It was a, I don't really want to do this, but I don't know how to say what I want. And I can't even tell you what I want. That for me is a characteristic of my sexual submission. So I would do stuff sexually that was okay, but it wasn't what I might have wanted to do. And then the person who would later become my ex-husband and I met, and he had never had sex. He was a virgin. Some people don't like that term because it's a social construct, but basically he had never had penetrative sex in his life. As far as I know, he had not even done much oral or anything with partners. It was a lot of masturbation. I don't know how to take the lead in a sexual situation, don't want to take the lead. The way my brain works is I can tell you for the first 30 seconds, I can let you know I'm into you. I can kiss you deeply. I can pull you close. I can make a little comment. I can flirt. I'll flash John Brownstone my boobs all the time.
and wiggle your butt.
Right. Like there are signals, but those last about 30 seconds. And then after that 30 second mark, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. I need somebody to take the lead. Well, I think, and I know this, I think this now, I had no concept of it at the time. My now ex-husband, I think, was probably kind of sexually submissive as well. He was not a take charge kind of guy. I had to initiate him through the let's make tab A and slot B fit. Yeah, that was as awkward as you might imagine it to be with two people who didn't know how to, one, say what they wanted, which doesn't have anything to do with dominance and submission. It has a lot to do with how we're raised and how we think about sex and all that stuff. And then didn't know what to do after the initial interest had been established. Like, yes, we would both like to have sex. Okay, what now? Somebody needs to take charge here. And as with our entire relationship, I ended up taking charge because it wouldn't have happened otherwise. And found myself to be more sexually aggressive and thought that was truly a part of who I was, that I was just sexually aggressive. Well, it was because I kept pairing up with people who like never took the lead, either didn't have a dominant bone in their body or just didn't understand it or something was going on with them. And it was not awful sex, but it was dissatisfying. I mean, anybody who has had to spend most of their life hiding or negating or pretending that they aren't away, and submissives have done this before we even understood we were submissives, we would take control of a situation and then be exhausted by it. Or dispirited by it, or just hate our lives because we didn't know what was missing, but we knew we didn't like this. Mm-hmm. It was just like, it was like that outside the bedroom in our relationship before I knew I was submissive. And it was like that in the bedroom too. The sex probably could have been great if I either hadn't taken charge or he just had taken charge and we had fit better. So that's where I come up with the, I've probably been sexually submissive my entire sexual life. For me, what happens is, like I said, I'll show my interest. Mm-hmm. Hey, daddy, rub my butt, you know, look at my boobs, right? Like I'll do something. I'll kiss him deep. I'll cup his cock and like, squeeze a little bit. I'll do something. Once he shows interest and he's like, yeah, I'm here for it. My mind goes totally blank, totally blank. Not a thought in my head. Don't know what I need to do next. Feel very lost and confused.
You're like, here, take the wheel now.
Oh, let go of the wheel. We were going off the cliff. I have let go of the wheel. I don't know. And I used to think there was something wrong with me for that. Because now when I was growing up, and every generation has different cultural messages, the big message of the day for a lot of heterosexual women was, tell your man what you want, take charge in bed, not even in a femdommy kind of way, just take charge in bed and make sure you get what you want. And those are great messages, except I would read that and go, fuck, I don't know.
But see, even a message like that, I would say, and I in some ways, maybe even for guys, again, it's a spectrum.
Yes.
Whether you're vanilla, whether you're kinky, or however you identify, it would have to be...
I think the message was more, should have been more, figure out what the fuck you want and then tell your partner that's what you want.
Yeah.
But
find out what works for you.
Right. This was late 90s, early 2000s. You know, I turned 18 in 97, and that's when I started having sex. And prior to that, and just after that, I was inundated with these messages that I was supposed to make sure everybody knew, you know, whoever I was having sex with knew what I wanted. And I'm to this day, as a sex blogger who shares her sex life on the internet, I cannot look at a partner and say, I would like this, that, and the other, please. Especially once I'm turned on. Especially once I'm turned on. Once I'm turned on, I'm like, I need you to drive now. Again, hands off the wheel. We're going off a cliff. I don't care. I truly don't. I might know in theory what I want. I'll know what I want to feel. I'll know that clitoral stimulation would be nice. Yes, please. Or, oh yeah, fuck me from behind. That'll be good. Or please spank me. Like, I might know bits and pieces, but where we're going to go and how we're going to get there, that's your job. thank God. or it wouldn't happen. Let us be honest with each other. It would not happen.
Mm.
Can you tell that about me, though? Like, I feel it very clearly. Oh, I'm kissing you. I'm loving you. And you're like, yeah. And he does that little dom growl. Love that dom growl. The moment I get whatever the signal is going to be that you're into it with me, brain shuts down.
Really?
Lost. What do you want to do now? Is where my head is. Huh. Can you feel that? Can you sense that?
Yeah.
Do you... Okay, so...
I had another thought in all this. You saying that is, I wonder what would happen if I didn't acknowledge it and jump in to take over like I do and just let you keep going in that.
We would just be standing there staring at one another. I am 39 and set in many of my ways. And one of them is I would just have to look at you. Deer in headlights. Mm. I don't know what happens now.
Okay.
Nothing happens now. Right. I'll actually walk away. Like that, and that is after 12 years in a relationship where that same thing happened. I had no language for it. I did not understand it about myself. I thought something was wrong with me. Like many submissives who don't understand that they're submissive kind of go through. And he'd do his little signal, which at this point I can't even remember anymore. It was that memorable. He would do his little signal. My brain would shut down. And if he did not initiate something, I would sit there, I would look at him, and then if he still didn't, clearly we're done, and I'd just wander off. So that is one element of my sexual submission. Another thing I have found, and this is why it's been on my mind this week, I've done a lot of writing about our sex life this week on both lovingbdsm.net and on my own blog, killerlords.com. It's the reason it's been on my mind is because there is a delicate balance to being sexually submissive and having somebody be in charge of your submission, like having a dominant. And part of that's because we have negotiated from very early on that I would be what's known as sexually available.
Correct.
When John Brownstone wants to have sex, we have sex. And we've talked about this in past episodes. This is not a new part of the conversation. And for some DS relationships that have a sexual element, this is something that they do as well. It's almost stereotypical, but it's not right for everybody. Like, you have to know your own triggers and your own past and what you are willing to handle. Not everybody wants to be woken up in the middle of the night to be fucked.
That was one thing that came up in the middle of the relationship per se, because we did talk about you being available to me at all times, at any time I wanted to have sex. And there were a number of times I woke up because I do not sleep through the entire night.
Yeah, no.
I wake up 1 o'clock in the morning. There are times I may wake up 2 o'clock in the morning and she's laying there next to me in bed. I'm like, okay, I'm not sleeping.
Yeah, I'm kind of hard.
Yeah.
Sure.
And this did happen several times. And then there was the, can we talk, Daddy?
At least I'm getting better about that.
Yes.
After the fact, I can talk about it.
And we did talk about it. And for her, it was a little bit of a problem. So we kind of worked through it, talked about it. And we came to an acceptable...
Right. So, and that's part of what I think gets lost in sexual submission, especially if you negotiate I'm always sexually available, or you negotiate dominant starts all sexual activity, is that one, there has to be a massive level of trust because they need to respect you as a human being enough to not take advantage of that power when you're sick, when something's wrong,
absolutely.
When it's poor timing for all kinds of reasons. Like
I have to take into account your mental health at any given time, your physical health. All right. I don't just, at any time I feel like it.
Well, yeah. And we work from home together all the time.
Sure.
You could technically, I mean, on paper, I guess you could go, you know what? It's 11:30 and I want a blowjob. Come over here. And you could.
Yeah.
But you know me when I'm working. I might look at you and go, no, that's going to have to wait. Right. So there is, with great privilege comes responsibility. With great responsibility comes great privilege. Like, yes. Those two things are intertwined. So as a dominant, if in your DS relationship, like, we have you negotiate this, I'll be available for you in whatever way, that the dominant in the relationship has to use that power judiciously. And some really bad dominants don't. Some are really, really awful about it, especially about sex, especially, hate to say it, the bad male dominants are really bad about that. The fakes, the wannabes, the posers, the abusers, all of those, they will take the sexual submission that they receive and just walk the fuck all over it. So the reason it works so well for us is that I can trust you. I know you're not going to just barrel through, even though it's awful
that,
for me.
Right. That privilege, yes.
But the other side of that, and this is what's really been on my mind a lot this week, and so I was like, oh, let's talk about this, is that as a submissive, even though my brain does shut off once like it starts heating up, I still have the responsibility and the obligation to say something, to speak up, to make sure my desires are known. Now, knowing myself the way I do, I have to have those conversations outside of the moment. Because truly, once we start like getting sexy with one another, brain shuts down. I am now responding to whatever happens. Now, I have responded when it was not a good moment for me by going, no, 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 no. And not in that, for us, cute power exchange, you know, kinky way, but like a stop touching me. Because all I was capable of doing was saying, no, 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 no. Couldn't really tell you why. Couldn't really, you know, say what, just it all had to stop. I was in a bad space. That is extremely rare. Typically, what I'll do is go, I'm not really into this, but I like that he's into this. So yeah, he can fuck me. And then what I'll do is have a conversation later when my brain turns back on and it's functioning like it needs to. So we have had conversations about, hey, daddy, I know you wake up in the middle of the night and sometimes you want to fuck, but if it's too close to when the alarm's going to go off, can you just hold that thought? Because what I was finding, we love middle of the night, late night, early morning sex, like going to sleep, which is pretty typical, I think, but waking up, one of us waking up to sex, which is me waking up to him fucking me, is how that actually works. I do not wake him up for sex. That would never happen. And not for me anyway. What was happening was you might wake me up at like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning, but the alarm was set to go off at 5 or 5:30. So by the time the fucking was done, I'd gotten up, peed, because I always pee after he comes inside of me, cleaned myself up because I do not like drying semen on my skin. I do not like it. And that has nothing to do with being submissive. That's just my personal thing. I have to get up. I get cleaned up. I got to pee. I got to come back to bed. By the time all that happened, and then if I was able to just sort of drift off, I felt like the alarm was just going off. And I would wake up zombified, like, I don't think I actually slept last night. And so it was my responsibility to say to him, I love that when you wake up in the middle of the night, all you can think about is fucking me, but I'm going to need you to time that better. Okay. This is not working. And because this is how this is supposed to work, you out. Okay.
Yeah.
And so now.
And we worked it out. Right. We found a compromise.
Exactly. And now when it's middle of the night sex, like way pre-dawn, like still dark outside, it's on a weekend. Because I'm not waking up to an alarm. And if it's midweek sex, it's either right before we go to sleep or it's right after the alarm goes off. He'll usually kind of tell himself, what? We got time. We can do this. This will be a quickie. So, but that was part of it. I had to say something. When we were going through like the worst of my anxiety and my bipolar disorder and dealing with all that and figuring all that, we had to have the conversation about, I can't, you know, if I'm in this headspace, here is the one. If I was in an anxious or depressed, but mostly anxious baby girl headspace, that is not a sexual headspace.
No.
You cannot touch me sexually. Oh my God, I flip out on you. Like it is the closest I think that I get to being a quote true little where I can't tell you what age I might be, but I feel very, very young and very, very vulnerable. And the idea of being touched sexually at that point is no, just don't do it. Just worst thing ever. But we didn't know that until it happened.
Correct.
And then I had to say something.
Yeah.
So that I think is probably something that trips some people, especially newer kinksters up, newer relationships, is that you negotiate what you like, what you don't like, what sexually available means if you're going to do that, you know, what you're okay with from each other sexually. You negotiate it usually at the beginning. You might kind of touch on it as you kind of work out, pardon the expression, work out the kinks.
Yeah.
And then a lot of people just don't talk about it anymore. True. And that's okay if everything's working. But from a submissive perspective, you will find new things you want to try that maybe your dominant hasn't mentioned to you. Or you will find things that aren't quite working that don't work for your life or that are make you, you know, make you more tired the next day or whatever. You have to say something. It's like any other part of DS. You don't just give your control up and your power up and go, okay, I'm done. This is an ongoing thing that is a living, breathing relationship that you have to talk about, no matter how difficult it is to talk about. I don't think I'm completely alone in the, I can write about the sexual things I want. I can read about them. I can point to something and go, ooh, yeah, that would be nice. But physically saying the words, almost impossible, even now. The closest I get is, when are you going to fuck me again? That, and that for me is not a, here's how I'd like you to fuck me. That's a, when are you going to fuck me again? Because I'm depending on you to decide how we're going to do that.
True.
Now, sometimes I can tell you what I'm kind of wanting.
True. You do. You've gotten a little better about doing that. You even though sometimes I have to pull the words out of you.
Yes.
Now, I do want to say this because I can't really speak a whole lot of about this from a sexual submissive side.
Well, since you're not any of those things, no, I
right.
think you could.
Yeah. But as her dominant, are there times that I take her just for my pleasure?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And that's fucking hot.
Yeah.
It's so hot to me. Oh, my God. I love it. I love it. I love it.
The other side of that coin is I also know that in order to keep her in that state of mind, she needs to receive her pleasure as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are times, and this is hot to me. This is, I guess, a kink of mine, we would say. There are times you do take your pleasure. You don't touch my...
Right.
So I get off on clitoral stimulation. If you are not touching the clit, I'm not orgasming. It's happening. I used to be able to orgasm from nipple stimulation, but we haven't done that in so long. I've lost that kind of ability. But for me, it's my clitoris. So there are times we'll have sex and you don't go anywhere near that part of me.
Nope.
And I don't care. I'm like, this feels good. For me, it's not about the orgasm. It's about the connection. It is about you asserting your dominance. And you're like, I'm slipping my cock in and that's what we're here to do. And that's all we're here to do. And I'm over there going, yep, I'm here for this. This is fine. Because it is part of my submission. It is a way to submit and serve. Now, if he does that too many times in a row, I get cranky.
Somebody going to be a little cranky.
Right. There needs to be an equivalent. We have hangry. I'm hungry and angry.
That ain't pretty, folks.
No. This is the sexual equivalent of hangry.
Yeah.
If you go too long, too many times, of fucking me, and the clit gets no attention, or we haven't pulled out a vibrator or something.
Houston, we got a problem.
I am that equivalent. I am, ooh, yeah. We need a word.
So, you know, so, as the dominant of a sexual submissive, you want to be aware of what gives them pleasure too, because it's just like we talked about when we talked about service submission. Someone who serves, they need to receive some form of gratification to refill their own well in order to keep giving.
Exactly.
It's no different with a sexual submissive. They need to receive their own pleasure in order for them to keep giving.
Right. And the part of it, you know, in the early stages of a relationship, you talk about these things. What are you into? What do you think you might be into? All of that. And that's the starting point. We've said that a million times. Yeah. That is literally just the starting point. We found different ways and tricks of doing this that didn't require me to say difficult words out loud. And this is when we did our Tumblr rant a couple weeks ago. This is what part of what makes us so unhappy about Tumblr's bullshit with, you know, adult content.
Presenting a nipple.
Right. A female presenting nipple.
Yeah, female presenting nipple.
Anyway, it's because we used Tumblr. That was how I communicated, hey, this turns me on. This is interesting. Right. This is a fantasy. This is intriguing. I would like to try this. Mm-hmm. And we used it to talk about our desire in a way that when you're new to something, you don't always have the language. When it still feels awkward, you're not quite comfortable. When there's distance between you, you don't always have the time to have those conversations.
Sometimes
and we can do it visually.
You're just beginning to explore with a partner and you're not sure of each other.
And sometimes you're beginning to explore yourself and you don't even know. And we use Tumblr for that for a long time.
Yes.
And then the other way I remember you doing it early in our relationship is you would, one, I would blog about it. Right. That was sort of the benefit of having a sex blog, by the way. What would I like to do? Let me write a fantasy that sounds like fiction, but is really what I'd really like John Brownstone to do.
Yeah.
And so I would do that. And then I recall early in our long distance relationship, you would ask me very pointed questions.
Yes.
About, well, what about this and what about that and what are your fantasies? And as long as we were talking about it outside of a, I don't want to say sexual context because the whole thing was sexual, but it wasn't phone sex. It wasn't masturbation. It was just sort of a clinical look at what kind of things are you
I would assign you tasks in some cases. I would tell her, okay, Wartenberg wheels.
Right. Go find out about that.
Go find out. Mm-hmm. Information about a Wartenberg wheel. You have till Friday to do this. Then I want you to email me what you found out.
He'd literally give me a writing assignment.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't be like the kind of things I write today, but it would be go learn about that and then report back and write something up for me and give me the information.
And I would get the information back from her. I would read it over and then we would have a conversation about it. We would start talking about it.
And at that point I could have, because it was clinical. It was hypothetical. It was theoretical. It was not, I was not naked and in the moment. And we had to come together very quickly and get on the same page about the fact that you cannot ask me once like the clothes start coming off how I feel about this thing.
Yeah.
That's a thing with me. I do not know if that happens to other people. I said it earlier, I'm not capable of giving a coherent answer. I'm not even capable, and it's not that I'm not capable, it's a struggle. So, John Brownstone is real big into dirty talk. I am not into dirty talk. It's not a hard limit, so he can do it all day long. And he'll ask me a question. It's like a really sexy question, like, you know, who slut are you? And, you know, you want my cock? And, like, just really sexy stuff. And most of the time, I'm not even capable of really answering.
No.
I mean, I can do a, like I can do that. I think that's what I sound like during sex, by the way. So y'all all got that. That's a little bonus this week.
The only time you do answer rather quickly.
I knew what you were going to say. Go ahead.
Is, do you want to come, baby girl?
Yes. Yeah, that one's easy. Yes.
Then
yes.
I get an answer. That one I get an answer.
And actually, I thought you were going to say something else. So apparently I have two.
Okay.
The other one, because you're a sadist who likes to tease, he'll like start teasing you. Sex will go in and out. He'll pull all the way out. He'll nudge my body with his penis. And we typically have sex in like one, like our favorite position, and it's the spooning position. I love that position. He loves that position. It works on a lot of levels. We were able to have sex through many health and medical issues in that position.
Yes.
It's a favorite. So what happens is he starts like teasing me, and then I can get a little like, hey, wait a moment, and I'll start pushing my butt back, arching my hips like, hello, fuck me. And he can say, do you want my cock? And I'm like, yeah, get back here.
That's true.
I can do it then. Yeah. That is true. That is true. But it is a very nuanced thing. And of course, it's unique to all of us. We said that earlier. Mm-hmm. And even over time, I have found that it shifted and changed. And the biggest thing is that what I've discovered for right now is that as much as your pleasure brings me pleasure, I mm-hmm. want you to have what you want. I want you to take what you want. I want to give you what you want. Like, I want to do all of those things. I want to kind of be this blank slate for you to just go, oh, this is what I want. Let's do this thing.
Right.
I also have plenty of my own desires. You yes. know, the vast majority of us were sexual creatures of some sort. You had sexual moments and sexual things that you wanted before you had this particular partner. And you may still want those things. I think it's easy for some of that to get clouded as a submissive, because what I want to do is whatever you want to do. Partly because I know you're going to do things I want to do. You're going to take what I want to do into account. You're also mm-hmm. going to be a lot more creative about it than I would probably be. I personally am the type that's like, oh, I want to get off. I'll just start rubbing my clit. Like, I don't, there's no foreplay. Mm-hmm. That we go straight for the clit. There's a laser beam on it, you know, and we just, yeah, that's where we go. And well, you're going to tease.
If it's just you, you've got Bob and, you know, you...
Bob is the vibrator, y'all. I do not have a person named Bob. Bob is my vibrator. I did not name my vibrator. Oh, my God. I have a pink vibrator called the Pink B.O.B. Battery-operated boyfriend.
Yep.
We call it Bob. I'm sure if I met a very lovely Bob, he might eventually be welcome in the bed. Right. But that is not what I meant. But yeah, because, you know, there's the things you do when you masturbate that you learn about yourself. There's the the sexual fantasies and desires I was exploring before I even met you. But so when I'm doing something to myself for my own gratification, mm-hmm. I'm going to home in. That's my tendency. I'm going to home in on what the hot button, the place. You, right. though, are going to take me on a journey.
Yes.
You are going to have something in mind that gets us both to wherever it is we'd like to be, but ultimately where you want us to mm-hmm. be. And I am along for the ride. I am.
We just don't go from A to B.
And see, I'd go from A to like 8.1. And that's because A was my clit. 8.1 was touched it just right. I came. I'm done. Okay. We can go to sleep now. Because I know my body that way. I know how that works. For me. I'm very direct with myself. Not so much when somebody else is involved.
Okay.
But, you know, I'm very rarely going to initiate sex. I'm very rarely going to, like, in the middle go, hey, actually, I want you to do this. That's probably not going to happen at all. The closest I've started coming to doing that now is you will do what you... We did this just, what, the other night? You did what you wanted to do for us to get warmed up before sex. And it was delightful.
Yeah.
And then now... You have penetrated me, which is great. And I went, hey, can I get the vibrator? And here's what's funny. I'm pretty sure we've never negotiated whether I need permission for that. So I'm pretty sure I could probably just technically grab it.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it feels right to ask, hey, you're going to be fucking me. And I have this heavy duty vibrator. And we can both feel the vibrations. And I'm mm-hmm. going to come all around your cock. And this is going to be great. Can we do that? And so I ask for permission. But that's the closest I've started coming to saying, hey, can I do that? Hey, can we do that? Hey, can we shift gears? And it's more because those are some sensations that I'm really craving. And I think it helps that I understand my body well enough to know what it is I like. I can mm-hmm. easily put that to the side in favor of what you want because I know ultimately you're going to make sure I'm satisfied. And I think for me as a sexual submissive, that's what it really is all about. I can sort of sit back, give up total control, let you drive this train,
mm-hmm.
and know that however we get to the destination, by the time we get there, it's going to have been good for me too. Even if it wasn't what I imagined it being. But the difference is that when I feel like something is missing... I have to speak up. I have to say something. I have to say, well, you know, we haven't done this in a while. I can't do it in the middle, but I can do it later. The thing that the other part of what's been on my mind this week about this is what I have noticed, partly because we've gotten busy, partly because we weren't having near as much sex as we wanted to be having, is that there are things that I would really like to experience with you that we used to do all the time that aren't just spankings, which I love, isn't just bondage, which I love, and is definitely not our typical, you know, type of sex.
Yeah.
And that has been missing, but I hadn't really thought about it. And the moment I started thinking about it, then I couldn't stop thinking about it.
Oh, okay.
And I think a little bit of that for me is because part of what I kind of do for a living is think about sex. And it's very easy to not think about your own sex because you're thinking about other people's sex. But prior to us even getting together, I wrote about sex all the time. About my own sexual desires. And so it was, I didn't notice when I kind of shoved them to the side and went, these aren't important. My daddy will give me what I need, right? I could just depend on my daddy to give me what I need. And then something has happened in the past couple of weeks where it's all front and center of, oh, we haven't done that in a while. And, I'd like to do that. And, oh, this would be nice. and so now I have to start doing the hard work of saying, hey, can we start doing some of this again?
Mm-hmm.
For example, which I think is a really big part of sexual submission for a lot of people, and that is orgasm control.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely one of our kinks. We love orgasm control. Mm-hmm. Once we got sexual with one another, long distance, that was the first thing.
That was one of the first things.
You got control of my orgasms.
Yep.
And I don't think that that's automatically a sexual thing because What makes it sexual to me, yes, it's an orgasm, but it's that when I say he controls my orgasms, he's literally usually the one giving me the orgasm. I think you can have orgasm control that is purely just about control and discipline.
Yeah.
And the two partners never have to touch one another in order for that to work. But for us, is very sexual.
Yeah.
Because most of the orgasms I'm having are literally at your hand or tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Unless, you know, pull the vibrator out or whatever. Yeah. What I have found about orgasm control with us, though, is that it's a lot more fluid than it used to be. It used to be very strict.
Yeah.
I did not touch myself until I was told to touch myself. I did not orgasm until I was told I could orgasm or started begging for permission.
Yeah.
And then had to wait till, you know, go ahead or come for me or however you say it.
Mm-hmm.
Or I would edge myself when you told me to, or I would not touch myself for however long.
So long, yeah.
Right. And it's become much more fluid. So because I do from time to time test out sex toys, I have open permission to masturbate when I need to. I just have to tell you about it.
Correct.
I have found that when we are in a deep DS headspace, both of us, or at least I am, during sex, especially if it's not, you haven't gotten to the point where we're spooning and there's penetration, but it's still the build up. You know, it's you're fingering me, it's oral sex, it's whatever. In that headspace, that's when I feel the power exchange the most, and that's when I ask for permission.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then the other thing I've noticed is either when I'm using the vibrator, that the whole purpose of that vibrator is to get me off, or we are moving so frenetically against one another and it's almost a little wild and out of control. I don't ask. One, I couldn't ask fast enough, quite frankly. And we just sort of allow it to happen. But that's not something we ever negotiated.
No, that's true.
We just sort of, that happened kind of organically.
Happened organically. It just and kind of grew into the mix.
I've never gotten the feeling from you that bothers you at all.
No.
Was the very strict control over my orgasms more of a long distance thing?
It was. Once we got together, I think that's when I kind of started backing off that.
Mm-hmm.
The orgasm control at that point was different. It was more denial. It was more edging. And after we were physically together for quite some time, it went exactly the opposite way. It was forced orgasms.
Oh God, I love forced orgasms. Oh my God, I love forced orgasms. I love them. I love them.
And now it has not been so much of denying or edging, it has been about you getting you to beg for them.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And even that we don't play with quite that often anymore. No, and so it's funny. Forced orgasms, definitely, definitely. Oh, my God. But that's because it hits on a few things.
Right.
It hits on my masochism, because at a certain point, forced orgasms are painful, and I'm here for that.
Right.
It is sort of, because I sometimes can squirt and gush from an orgasm, mm-hmm. so there's some of that. There's a little bit of, it's funny, I know not everybody feels this way, if you're capable of that kind of orgasm. It's a little bit of humiliation to it as well, because I literally have made a mess of the bed. Like, I'm so out of control over my body, it's just flooding out of me. And there's something there's something about that that hits a kink. Then there's, what else was I thinking? And then there's the sexual submission side. But the other thing I was thinking too, and I know this isn't true for everybody, but when we were long distance, before we were in a relationship or before we'd made any of it formal or official, I was able to, I masturbated at will. I got off at will. I could do it that whenever I wanted to. And in a long distance relationship where you can't physically be together hardly at all, the easiest control to give up, the thing that made me feel certainly the most submissive was, yeah, he has total control over this. He'll tell me when I'm going to orgasm, when I'm going to touch myself. I'm not, for a long time, I could not masturbate unless his voice was in my ear telling me what to do. Like, that was so much a part of our long distance relationship and the way we had sex with one another. Whether he was touching himself or not, he was guiding my masturbation, and that was sex for us, and he was controlling that. And when we moved in together, part of it, I think, was that it was a celebration of, look, we can have sex whenever we want, and less about having to control those things that I had previously had total control over, and more about what can we do when we're together. The denial is not as fun for us. I know chastity is totally a thing for a lot of relationships out there, but for us, the denial isn't as fun when we're together. It's about, how much can we do? How connected can we be? How much can we force? How much, you know, how big can these orgasms be? How many can there be? Like, it was a different, we shifted. It was from one end of a spectrum to the other.
It you know, with the forced orgasms, it became almost like a challenge.
Oh, and it has, you know, it has been that way. Once you figured out that I could have multiple orgasms.
Oh, yeah.
That has always been a challenge to you. How many can we do? And we haven't done a count
in a long time.
In a long, long time. And part of it, I think, is that as the relationship has progressed and matured, that new relationship energy is not there anymore, mm-hmm. which we recognize, and that's fine. And as exciting as things are, it's not the same kind of excitement. Whereas before, it was like puppy let out into the yard excitement. Like, oh, look what we can do. This is amazing. And we were like, we were pushing against limits that we had known before, and like, how much more. And now we are two people just sort of dragging each other through the day, trying to, you know, do other things. And the time we have for each other isn't as focused and concentrated on sex. It's on every other part of our life.
Right.
And we don't have, I'm not saying it's easy when you're in long distance, but it is easier to compartmentalize the different parts of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So when we were long distance, I knew that if I heard your voice early morning or late at night, it was sexy fun time.
Yep.
That just doesn't happen that way at this point. We don't have those kinds of signals. It's not that regulated.
Correct.
Like, this was part of our routine. First thing in the morning, last thing at night, mm-hmm. sexy fun time every time we talked. And now this is the life you have when you live together, and you could do it at any point, but sometimes that doesn't happen. So that's a lot about my sexual submission. I do want to make some points that I think are important for people who are starting to explore this for the first time with any partner or within themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think some things get lost in all of this. I think especially once you start negotiating sexual availability and the idea that a dominant has control over the sex you're having, I think it's easy for some people to lose themselves a little bit. Okay. So a couple of things. And we've talked about some of these things throughout, but it's almost like a recap. So first of all, Communication is absolutely vital. You have to talk about this stuff as hard as it is. I am still a huge advocate for, if you cannot physically say the words, you go write them down, you text them, you email them, whatever is easiest for you to communicate. We are not purists around here. Communication is communication. If you take the idea out of your head and get it in front of your partner, you have communicated. Okay. Right. So whatever method works for you, use it. I do want to point out, and I point this out because it was something that I worried about. Not wanting sex with your partner, not wanting the kind of sex that they are wanting to have with you as a sexual submissive. It's not a rejection of your partner necessarily. It could be. You might be at a point in your relationship that is a rejection. But if it's just like, God, this is not what I want right now, or this isn't doing it for me, you know, it's fine. It's fine. Yeah, I'm glad they're having a good time, but it's not doing it for me. You're not rejecting your partner. You are being aware of your own sexual needs. And right. I think, and this truly was a thing that I have had to think about for myself. I can easily get so wrapped up in whatever John Brownstone wants and lost in, here, you just drive, I'm along for the ride, that I will ignore my own needs because I do find it so difficult to say them and to talk about them. But
what it comes down to as well is, regardless of what kind of submissive you are, you're not a doormat.
No. And you get to have your own preferences, and you get to have the things you want to explore and the things you want to try.
Right.
And if your relationship is set up this way where your dominant is the one, the way this happens is you have to have these conversations. Yes. But I don't want people to get so caught up in, case in point, we've been using the vibrator during penetrative sex for a few weeks now. Yeah. I've got to charge it, quite frankly. I've got two in the nightstand that both need to be charged. So there's that. And the first couple times I asked to use the vibrator, I was very worried. It felt so good. Oh my God, it felt so good. But I was very worried that what he would be thinking was, wait, I'm clearly not doing enough for her because she needs a vibrator. Now, that is old stereotypical thinking that I teach people to get away from. Like, I write about not looking at sex toy use in that way all the time. And it was still happening to me.
Yeah.
And that I know comes from the fact that for all these years we've been together, short of conversations we've had about, I would really like this to happen, and wouldn't this be nice? He leads. Yeah. I follow his lead.
There have been times I asked her to grab the vibrator.
Oh God, yes.
It feels damn good.
I know. It feels good for both of us. So that's my point, is if you are maybe a little less satisfied with the sex that you've been having, or something feels like it's missing, it's not a rejection of your partner. It's just that you need to speak up, and maybe there's some things you need alone or with your partner to get you what's going to be sexually satisfying for you.
Right.
The other thing, and we've hinted at this, but I don't think we've said it straight up in this episode, and we talk about this all the time, so it's not new. Even when you're totally sexually available, even when the agreement is, whatever you want to do sexually, daddy, I'm down for, let's do this. Dominants still have to check in. Dominants still have to get consent. You still, part of it is that trust in, you know, don't fuck your submissive when they've got the flu. Like, right?
Right.
Like, don't come at them when they've barely been asleep or they're having a mental breakdown. Like, no, right?
Regardless of the fact of whatever consent they have given you, you still have a responsibility to take care of them.
Exactly. So it means that even in when things are feeling good and you're like, yeah, this is a good moment, this is the right moment for this, you still have to check in.
Right.
And it can be, I mean, you want to know how we check in? He talks dirty to me. I can't respond, Jesus God. But he's checking in, you know? You like my cock, little slut? Mmm. Like it too. My sex sounds aren't very sexy, just in case anybody wondered. So that still applies. And if you are the sexual submissive and you're like, good Lord, my dominant has not actually checked to see if I want this in, I don't even remember the last time. That's something that you're going to need to talk about.
Yeah.
I think people get very caught up in what consent means. They're like, oh, I have to stop and very formally ask you, may I do this thing and touch you here and do this? And there are times and places for those conversations. When you have this established relationship and things are mostly good, that kind of consent and check-in can be very, very casual. You know, mm-hmm. it can be a, hey, what about tonight? That's, yeah. you know, if the other person knows what the hell you mean, you're getting informed consent.
Correct.
It can be in the middle. It's no different than a kinky scene. It's no different than,
right.
so different than any other part of DS. I think people do get very twisted up about sex because mm-hmm. it is such an intimate thing. Though I think most of us who have been in DS relationships for a while would say that the non-sexual side of DS can be just as intimate, often oh, yeah. is, as the sexual side. But especially for people who are really here for the kinky sex and they're kind of new to the power exchange part, I think it does start becoming much bigger and maybe a little scarier and a little intimidating, and they don't know, am I doing the right thing? And or they go the other way and they completely forget all manners and they forget
yeah.
how all of this works. and so it's not nearly as complicated as you probably think it is. Literally just, does this feel good? Do you want more of that? Can I keep going? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how to do it. I'm the submissive. My job is to lay there and go, you know, or yes, daddy, please don't stop, daddy. Sex noises are not sexy, and never said they were. So
they sound much better during the real thing.
Which just proves that I can't. Like, I can write it. I'll write it all day long. I do want to give a little insider tip. I think you might know this, but maybe you don't. So maybe I'm revealing something to you.
All right.
So as a sex blogger, I since having livingbdsm.net, the website,
yeah.
Since writing for other entities, other websites, not my own.
Right.
I write a lot of nonfiction. I write the stuff in my head. I write informative stuff. Mm-hmm. I write personal essays. Like, I'll tell you how this thing happened to me and affected me. The entire podcast is a personal essay, quite frankly.
Pretty much.
Especially when it's a topic near and dear to my heart, like sexual submission. Yes, yes, mm-hmm. yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Okay.
I have not really written a lot of fiction, erotic fiction.
Mm-hmm.
In a long time. I would have to go back easily since 2015, maybe earlier than that. And I was starting to feel bad about it because a lot of my blogger friends write like some really sexy fiction. And I'm like, oh yeah, I'm here for that. I'm like, what's wrong with me that I can't write anymore? Here's what it was. I was able to write fiction in the early days of my sex blogging life.
Mm-hmm.
Because those are my secret fantasies that I was too afraid to put my name on and say, this is what I'd like. So I wrote them as fiction. So if somebody went, oh, that's weird, I could like distance myself from it. But I could still get it out of my head, explore it through the written word. Oh, yes. Some of my darker stuff, too. I've got a couple that like.
Oh, yeah.
This was before trigger warnings were really a thing. And if I probably need to go back and put a big ass trigger warning on it. Like, I didn't write a lot of dark stuff, but I did then. And yeah. But that was how I explored my own desires because I, for different reasons.
It was a safe way to do it.
It was a safe way to do it. It was my own sexually repressed upbringing that made it very difficult to own that as a desire to say, that's what I want. There was the submissive part of me that still struggles with owning this is what I want. Certain things, yeah, I'm going to tell you that if you want to get me off, you better find my clit. And if you cannot find my clit, I will provide you a map. Okay? I know that. But when it's the, I want to try this, I want to experience that, and it's something a little bit bigger and it's edgier and it's about the mm-hmm. power exchange, I still struggle with being able to put that into words. But at the time, that was the space I could give myself. It was like a wall I could put between me and this thing I wanted, and I didn't have to claim it as mine. I could go, oh, that's fiction. That's fiction.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things I would write as, quote, dreams that I had. No. That was me at work bored daydreaming about the sex I would like to be having. That is what that was. So that is how I manage that, and that is why I don't write fiction anymore. Because, one, I don't have a lot of those fantasies anymore, and two, I am the type of writer, this is not typical for an erotica writer, by the way, I have to base it on what I know. If I'm not basing it on what I know or what I want, I can't write good erotica. It's very flat every time.
Huh.
So, yeah, that is how I do that as a writer and a submissive and a whatever.
Huh.
I know. So, I know.
And now I want to dig through your archives.
You should. You totally should. Y'all all can. KaylaLords.com. I'm just saying. I've been writing since 2012. The early days are way sexier than the later days. Because I wasn't in any relationships. I was exploring the fantasies in my head. I was exploring masturbation. Like, all this stuff was going on. Yeah. But yeah, the fantasy, like the kinky fantasy stuff.
I did read your blog. When I first found your blog, I went all the way to the beginning and started reading.
You have spoiled me for anybody else who I'm close to, because when somebody reaches out and meets me, two things. I'm like, why are you asking me questions about myself? I have a whole blog. That is not how that typically works. I understand that, but that's how I introduce myself to people. Hi, I'm Kayla Lords. If you want to know about me, here's a blog. Two, I'm looking for the other person's blog, because that's how I knew you were an okay human being, and I would reach out to you. Because you had a blog and I could go dig into it.
Yeah.
Even though a person can be whoever they want to be on the internet, I'm well aware of that. But yeah. So that's a lot to say about sexual submission. And you know, here's the deal, because I know there are some people out there who identify in that way too, and you're probably thinking of points I've missed. It's too big of a topic.
Right.
Now, what I would say is, if you are a sexual submissive and there are things you wished we had dived into deeper, or if the concept of it is new to you and you have questions that we didn't answer, definitely reach out and ask them, because if we get enough, we will come back for a part two.
Right.
If you can't tell, this is something I could talk about for a while.
I got something near and dear to your heart, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Service and sexual submissions. Those two are my jams. Those are my things. But yeah, the same rules apply, whether it's sex versus service or whatever. Mm-hmm. Consent, negotiation, all that good stuff. And a submissive can't be afraid to speak up. You just can't. You got to figure out your way of doing it, but you got to do it.
Right.
Makes for better sex for everybody, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I think that is it.
Yeah.
So we are going to do a bonus section.
Yes.
For those watching on the live stream. This is going to be weird. Normally there's like this pause, this beat. Sometimes I even edit out the keep it kinky. It's not going to happen this time.
No.
I know. We're just going for it.
Okay.
Here we go.
Are we good?
As good as we're ever going to be.
All right.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all.
And we'll see you next week. Except if you're still here.
Yeah.
You're here for the bonus section. Do I have to ask permission with the camera looking at me? And everybody who's on the other end of that camera looking at me? Do I have to? Damn it. Daddy, can I talk to the crickets? Please and thank you. Please and thank you, Daddy.
Go ahead, thank baby you, Daddy. Girl.
I have nothing to say. We didn't get any mail this week.
No, we didn't.
But we got so much last week and the week before. Yeah. It's cool.
It was unbelievable the amount we got.
I know. We have just been kind of working on stuff this week. It's been a really quiet week for us.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of sex, or more sex than usual. Good sex. Better
kinky
more good
sex.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're planning next week. Will happen before we record this next week. We're going to the club for some kinky fun.
Yes.
So, yep.
We're going to be at the club. They have their daytime.
Yes.
Party.
One day a month, and I'm okay with that.
Uh-huh.
I'm good. I'm ready to go. You went to a rope class last week.
I went to a second rope workshop last week. That was great. I am really, really enjoying that.
Mm-hmm.
The group is really fantastic. They work with you no matter what level you are. They have people that work with you on a one-on-one basis. They have a intermediate basis. And they have a expert.
Are you still at the basic? Or have you moved up to the intermediate?
I've moved up a little bit. It was... I mean, you know, I've tied some things with you in the past.
Our whole relationship.
Yeah. But it's kind of neat to actually be around these folks. And, you know, even from the beginning, it's really cool. Meeting some really great people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a very, very cool group. And it's also given me some opportunity to watch some really, really great riggers.
Mm.
They put mats down on the floor and people, you know, get plopped down on the mats. And there are people there doing floor tying. There's people there doing suspensions. Mm. Really amazing stuff. And what I really find great about it is no matter what level it is, you know, even if it's somebody who considers themselves that they're an expert, that they're doing suspensions, they are open to you walking up to them and asking questions.
Mm-hmm. One would hope at a workshop that they would be. Not on the floor of the club in a scene at a party.
No, don't do that.
But yeah, at a workshop, that's what they're there for, right. Is for you to ask questions.
Yes. And, you know, they're very, very open to it and willing to sit and talk. So it has been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
Well, and I am looking forward to reaping the benefits of that.
Yeah.
Well, and so here's a little, I don't know what we'd call it, little insider, whatever. So as bloggers, our personal blogs, KaylaLords.com, mm-hmm. SouthernServiceplace.com, last year we got involved with our friend Molly's, she calls it February Photo Fest. So mm-hmm. she's a photographer, erotic and non-erotic. She's just an amazing photographer. And she takes, like, every image on her blog is either something she's taken or she is the subject of, and maybe like her husband hit the button or whatever, but it's all her photography. And so she does a challenge every February and invites bloggers to join in, where every day for the month of February on your personal blog, you post a picture.
Right.
So last year we decided to do it, and we decided to do it together, and we called it Perspective. That was our theme. Mm-hmm. So every, either the subject or the actual situation where we took the photo, it was from two different perspectives.
It was from her perspective and my perspective.
Right. And so sometimes it was the moment. It was a spanking, and so we would take two different photos of it to get two different perspectives.
Right.
Sometimes it was a situation. The last one of February was from our wedding, and it was each yes. our favorite images from our wedding.
Right.
Which we picked two different ones, and that was part of our perspective. So we were going to do it again this year, February Photo Fest, uh-huh. be on our blogs. It'll be awesome. And I was like, okay, we can't do the same theme. That's, but we got to do something. And part of this, I think, is because we are more committed to getting in touch with our kinky selves
right.
than we have been lately, and trying to kind of bring that back
sure.
home kind of thing. So he's got all this rope. We're waiting for a rope order to
and
arrive.
I've got rope on order, which I'm really excited and
pretty colors.
Not some the colors that they are, and once I get them and play with them, we may even do a little video talk of them and incorporate it into some of that. You know,
I had no idea.
We talk about the different toys we use.
And, yeah, one of those. Oh yeah,
one of those
where we're talking about the toys. We're like, definitely. We might even just do a whole. Here's all the rope we like. Who knows?
Correct.
But. So I was like, wait, we are committing to trying wax play.
Yes.
We've got bondage tape. We've got mm-hmm. beautiful ropes. We've got new paddles. I'm like, I know what our theme, I don't know what we're going to call it, but I know what our theme needs to be for February. And it needs to be the kinky fuckery we're doing.
Yeah.
And it needs to be these snapshots of these moments where we're trying new rope or trying a new tie or mm-hmm. doing something.
Yeah.
Partly because, one, I think that would make for some great pictures, which all we do is take with our iPhone. That's all we get, right? And I barely edit because I don't know how to edit a photo, and so whatever. But it also gives us the excuse we need to go
try more kink.
Do more kinky things together right. and make time for it.
Yeah.
So that is coming in February. I'm excited.
And you know what it really came down to? We had, for 2018... we had very ambitious goals for the year.
Yeah, we did.
All right. Some of them fell flat on their face.
Most of them.
Some of them. And others, you know, were very long-term goals, too.
Yeah, we're still working on them.
That we're still working on them. So, yeah, that, you know, our kinky side did kind of take a backseat to all that. Mm-hmm. But now we are at a spot where we have surmounted most of that, mm-hmm. and it's not as looming as it was.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So that gives us a little bit more of the space to get back to doing some of that.
Yeah.
I mean, kind of like with the taking the time to go back to go to the club once a month.
Right. And, make that, know, a standing things, appointment.
Make that,
like that.
A standing appointment.
And I think, you know, I think these things come in sort of waves. And I think sure. it's the ebb and flow of relationships.
Yeah.
And when you get really focused on one thing, something has to give.
Right.
And so we got really focused on our business goals mm-hmm. and our personal, I guess, goals, kink goals, if you will.
Yeah.
Kind of had to take a back seat. And now it's not that our business goals aren't important. They're just not quite as, they're ongoing. We are working on things we've been working on. We're not right. adding big brand new stuff. So that gives us the mental space
to now
shift and go, let's focus on
let's
us.
Let's focus back on this a little bit more
yeah,
now. Yeah,
exactly. Which... I'm good with that.
So am I.
Yeah.
So am I.
So, that's all I got.
Yeah, I think that's...
If you're watching on YouTube, you can see our new shirts, our kinky cloth shirts.
Yeah.
I will also tell you a little secret that we, before we started the live stream and the recording of the podcast, we tried to record two what we thought were short videos. And somebody not named Kayla Lords forgot to unmute the mics, so we have to re-record those.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But because I like to find a silver lining to every situation if I can, those were practice, and they both were not our best. We were both very awkward in both of those.
Yes.
So now we'll go back and redo them with the mics on,
uh-huh.
And they'll be better than they were, and that's the ones y'all will see.
Mm-hmm.
So
Oops.
Oops. I know. I was practicing and looking at the notes and going over the intro that I read that podcast listeners will find hilarious that every single time I actually read it, I don't have it memorized 160 episodes later, and I have to practice it before we record it. I know that doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's what I need to do. It's a little bit like the athlete who has to wear the same socks, I guess. I don't know, but it's what I got to do. And I'm in the middle of practicing and I see this like frenzied, what? And I'm like, I'm practicing. And over here, I'm like, I am practicing. If I do not practice this, I will fuck it up. And finally I go, what? And he goes, the mic isn't on. And I went, I don't care about the mic right now. I'm just practicing.
Well, you know what made me feel really bad about this is the fact that when we started doing this, that we brought the camera and the mics to the sofa away from the desk, the monitor sits off to our left on my desk. And we could see it, but we can't see it.
I can
you
see
can
it.
See, you can see the monitor.
Yes, I can see the monitor.
And you can see what's on there.
Yes.
All right. But can you read anything or
actually make out
any details?
Which is why
to
we
it.
Told our live stream viewers that please feel free to chat with us. We will not be responding to any of that because
right.
it is across the room.
So when we do this, we have video software that's running.
Mm-hmm.
We have the audio mm-hmm. software running that we record the podcast with.
Yeah.
So I was trying to come up with a way that it would be visible. So what I did was I actually now have, when we do this, the TV
right.
that sits across from us in the living room, I have wired that into the computer
mm-hmm.
to act as an extended monitor where I now put the video software and the
audio. So we can see it.
And it's big enough so I could see it.
Right.
So here we are sitting. We had recorded two videos at this point.
Two short ones. We actually did short ones,
short
y'all.
Ones where I should have seen that there was no audio coming through the mic. When you sit here and watch the little bar bounce up and down, it did not even register with me.
And it's not even a part of my makeup to ask.
Because
I'm like, I'm here for the words. I'm here for the conversation.
Right.
I don't do the tech.
I blew it.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
Those are practice. And so now we're going to redo them.
Yes.
And this ends the first live streamed podcast for podcast listeners. You can go see the video if you want.
Yep.
For those of you on the live stream with us, thank you for joining us on the live stream. I know I talked faster because I was nervous. I've never done this live before. So hopefully I will slow the fuck down in future episodes. But I know that there are some people who listen to us at like 1.5 speed to get through a long episode. I can't imagine it. So maybe I helped those people out. I don't know. But this, as always, is fun and exactly what we need. And now hopefully we'll zip through re-recording those other videos.
Yes.
And get those out
Okay.
Relatively soon. But yeah, that's that's it
that's
for
much
us
it.
This week.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
I guess we're done.
We're done.
Bye.